everybody, it's Michael Steele here. Now, I know you're waiting for the next big episode of the Michael Steele Podcast, but in the meantime, give a listen to this Michael Steele Podcast quick take.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Michael Steele Podcast. I'm glad you're hanging with us. We're having a great conversation with Dr. Trey Penny. Penny, candidate for the 30th congressional seat in the great state of Texas, running against Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson, a 14-term member of Congress. We were just talking about your community, which is largely likely representative of a lot of communities around the country, and how folks find themselves just sitting on the curve as everyone else is taking off and getting by them. How do you see the impact of COVID-19, and how would you as a member of Congress deal with that issue? Do you see the package that Nancy Pelosi's put on the table? You hear the response to that from the Republican Senate. What would you be saying in a Republican caucus right now in Congress and potentially next January in light of where we are with COVID-19, 213,000 dead Americans. Actually, I think the number's higher than that now. But how do you see that? What do you say in a Republican caucus to get members to move on what the community needs right now?
We got to stop the bleed. You know, guys, we got to work together. You know, this is today is the public. You see what's happening. The public's dying. But what about when it's tomorrow and it's your family member, right? People got to be able to, they have to be able to feel that this is something that's real, that's going to happen, that potentially can happen to them. And we see this happening across the country to where it's always the, and I write about this in my dissertation, the not me syndrome, right? Because it's not you. You it's okay for you to push it off. You push it off until it does become you. And I think that's where that's the approach that we have to take to Congress, to where I am caucusing with my body, and I'm saying, guys, we have to do something to help the people. We have to stop the bleed. We have to stop allowing, we can't allow half our population to be killed off by a virus. We have to start coming together to create ideas. First of all, it's going to involve a plan. And this plan has to be a plan initiated at the federal level, right? And worked on with the states. We got to get everybody to the table. Forget the Democrat, Republican stuff, because unfortunately, if we continue to operate like that, we are going to have a significant number of deaths across the United States. And this thing's going to keep going. But we got to have a plan in place. It can't simply just be, let's wait until the crisis happens. And we got to look, the minorities in this country are being impacted by this virus more than anyone else, any other race or ethnic group in the United States. And we have to realize that they don't have the same resources, right? They don't have the ability. So we know that healthcare is a real issue, right? But let's think about this. The healthcare issues have been an issue, but when you look at what's available in a lot of the majority minority districts for them to eat, man, it just troubles me when I know that there are still food deserts in my district, right? Nobody can go get healthy food, you know, vegetables from a general store in South Dallas. Ain't none. Ain't no Kroger's in South Dallas. You know, and this is where we got to start talking about this, right? These are real issues that are being ignored by partisans because they want to continue this party line. And I think it's time to break it.
So our party has for now 14 years, roughly, pretty much said that and I was on the front lines of this battle back in the day regarding healthcare, as you mentioned, that, you know, Obamacare has all these problems. It's not good for the people. The president's right now in the Supreme Court looking to overturn Obamacare, which is going to be a hot button issue in this election on the healthcare front, because voters are having to weigh whether or not this Supreme Court nominee is that vote to actually overturn Roe versus Wade. I'm still not convinced that Coney Barrett is that individual, but you know, that will see in short order. But the party has largely done nothing in this space, except the rhetoric of repeal and replace without putting a plan on the table. Do you have a plan? Do you have an idea? I mean, you're not a medical doctor, so we'll be clear about that. So I'm not asking you from that perspective.
I know.
But
I got a plan.
What's your plan? How would you approach this, again, back in that Republican caucus who are clamoring for repeal and replace and, oh, yeah, we're going to promise, pre-existing conditions don't go away, but there is no plan. What's your plan?
Yeah, no, we got to actually come up with a plan. And I'll say this, there are some real problems, and the things that we can fix, like I said, the illegal mandate or the mandate that was in Obamacare, that was something that can easily been addressed. And I think we did go through a progress of addressing that. But the reality is we can't have a situation where these insurance companies are for profit in this country. I mean, these insurance companies are killing us. That's where, you know, why you want to wonder why your premiums are going up, because you got so many people that are sick and we have no controls on these insurance companies. Now, look, I'm not going to be the one coming out here saying, hey, let's just get rid of the insurance company, because I know it's unreasonable to say that the American government is going to pay for universal health care for everybody. It's not real. You know, right? That's a thing to get people excited, but it doesn't happen. Right. The reality, what we can do is, you think about the biggest expense for anyone dealing with illnesses in this country is medication, right? There's no reason for people to be in the United States to be paying 56% more than people in Mexico for the same drug. And the reality is, because Medicare is not allowed to negotiate drug prices, that we do have that. You know, the pharmaceuticals can sell us whatever drug at whatever price they want to, and we have to accept it under Medicare's guidelines. So what I want to do first and foremost, I want to make sure that Medicare is able to go and negotiate with these companies. We have to give them that leverage so that we can, you know, you bring us in line with whatever this drug costs in Mexico, we need to be paying the same amount here in the United States. So, that's the biggest part. Everything else is, you know, look, we got to start talking about let's start addressing the outside issues, right? We talk about healthcare. Let's talk about resources for improving healthcare. Let's talk about improving, like I talked about before, the lack of healthy choices for food in certain communities, right? We can't make this burden so heavy on employers to have healthcare insurance for their workers to where employers are unable to afford to hire people. So we got to come up with some real solutions to fix this. And look, I'm willing to caucus with anybody to make this thing happen, because I know the interests of the people are at stake. And if we don't fix it now, America is really going to be facing some major challenges going forward for the future.
How do you see our climate right now? Do you assess this as the vast majority of scientists have, that climate change is real, and there are a lot of causes, including human factors? How do you assess climate, and how would you, as a Republican member of Congress, express that? So that you build a consensus towards addressing some of the serious matters that are beginning to emerge in the climate space?
Yeah, so look, let me preface it with this. In 1962, Ronald Reagan said the Democrat Party, I didn't leave the Democrat Party, the Democrat Party left me, mm-hmm. right? And that was the rationale behind that, is because the party, his party at the time, had moved so far left of realistic ideas to where he could no longer be a part of that. And I'm encouraging the Republican Party not to do the same with its own body, okay? Don't move so far right to where nothing makes sense and you lose your base, right? You lose people, real people that are looking for real solutions in their districts. At this point, from the environmental standpoint, we got to understand climate change is real, right? We see it happening in front of us, okay? The reality is that the United States alone can't tax itself out of that. Okay. And what we, and these ideas of imposing new taxes on these ideas so that on these environmental issues, so that America can be, you know, this beacon of environmental change. We have to remember that there are other countries that have real, and this is environmental. We're talking about China. We're talking about India. They have major, you know, environmental hazards. If we can't bring the international community on board with doing the same thing, then look, we're just, right now, we're just kicking it in the wind. And what I don't want to do is place that unnecessary. I'm not going to say unnecessary. I'm going to say undue tax burden, because what I don't want to do is place on our American constituents when other countries are doing what they want to do, and they're still, you know, creating more population. It'll take China 30, I think it was something like 29, 28 years to get to where America's quality of life is right now, quality of air is. And I think we got to be smart about that. We got to realize that America is just, you know, we're only a small puzzle, a small piece in this big puzzle of climate change. And I think as long as we do bring that to the table where we're all working together and trying to figure out how to work with our international partners to fix it, then we can come up with a real solution.
Thanks for downloading this Michael Steele Podcast Quick Take. Now, you can always find us on Apple Podcasts, where, guess what? You can review us. You can give us 5 stars. Oh, yeah, I love the 5-star rating. Or you can catch us on iHeart, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. LostGolfBalls.com.